Hi, welcome to Module 8 of SQL Server for Oracle DBAs. In this module, we will talk about server management and server monitoring. What I would like to cover is how do we manage server and instance level resources, such as memory and processes, how do we manage storage at the database level, and how can we monitor and manage user sessions and activity as well as concurrency structures such as locks and latches. Let's start by discussing memory. In SQL Server, memory is managed on the server level, basically the operating system level, making sure that each process and each application running on the system gets enough memory, and also at the instance level. So each instance of SQL Server can be configured to acquire the right amount of memory, and it will manage that memory internally. So all the memory is divided and handled to all the different caches within that SQL Server instance. You can see the amount of memory that is consumed by various caches by using certain dynamic management views that present this information. The number of configuration options, such as minimum server memory and maximum server memory, can be used to set limits for how much memory SQL Server should acquire. You can also set other memory-related settings, such as minimum memory per query. There's also a number of performance monitor counters that allow you to monitor the amount of memory that is used by SQL Server. Those counters are generally included in SQL Server Buffer Manager, Cache Manager, and Memory Manager categories. There is a large number of those depending on which memory type you're trying to monitor. Much of that information can be also retrieved by using dynamic management views. When it comes to managing processes, in Oracle, you have ability to configure many of the background processes. In SQL Server, those background processes are generally not configurable, with the only exception being the checkpoint process, which can be configured through recovery interval setting. That affects how often the checkpoint will run and how much work it will perform in each run. Other than that, all the background processes are auto-managed and auto-configured. In Oracle, you can configure the number of maximum number of shared servers that will be used. In SQL Server, the equivalent configuration option is max worker threads, which governs how many worker threads SQL Server will use at maximum and under maximum load. You can also choose to leave this setting at default, at which case SQL Server will choose the number of max worker threads depending on your architecture and the number of CPUs that are found on your system. That default setting tends to work for most of the configurations and most of the workloads. There's also a number of DMVs that allow you to see what's happening on your server, such as DM exec requests that allow you to see all the requests and all the queries that are currently being executed on the server. SysDM OS waiting tasks, all the tasks that are waiting on a resource that might be blocked or waiting on I/O to complete and things like that. There's also a number of performance counters that could be used to perform process monitoring. For instance, the number of threads that are active inside SQL Server. If you want to capture user activity, the best tool is typically SQL Profiler. Or in case of SQL 2012, you can also use a newer tool called Extended Events Profiler. It's a similar profiling tool based on a newer technology that is extended events. Let me now show you how we can use a performance monitor to monitor queries that are executed against SQL Server and see certain performance monitor counters. So I'll switch to my demo machine, start performance monitor, and in my performance monitor, I would like to add a number of SQL Server related performance counters. So, from local computer, I need to find the right category related to a particular instance. Notice that each instance of SQL Server that is running on this machine has its own set of performance monitor counters. So I'm interested in performance monitor counters for my instance 01. If I want to see the amount of memory that is used by SQL Server, I can use, for instance, counters under Memory Manager. For instance, Total Server Memory is a counter that shows me the current memory consumption by this instance of SQL Server. I could also see the amount of memory that is used by various components inside SQL Server. So, for instance, how much memory is allocated for logs, how much memory is used by the optimizer, how much memory is used by SQL cache, etc., etc. I will monitor total server memory. Then I would like to monitor certain SQL statistics. So I go to SQL statistics, and let's see batch requests per second. So number of batches that are sent from user applications and client applications to this instance of SQL Server. We can also see transactions. So maybe we should take a look at the number of transactions. Actually, a better counter would be in databases under transactions per second. So let's see how many transactions per second we are doing either in all databases or in a specific database. So in this case, I'm interested in the number of transactions total on the entire SQL Server machine. We might also be interested in the number of logs and log weights that are occurring. And for that, we could use logs category. So for instance, log requests per second, that's the number of log requests that are placed per second, and log weights per second, so how many times per second those log requests cannot be fulfilled immediately and have to wait to acquire a log. So now I've added a number of various counters. When I click OK up, I have those counters visible in my performance monitor, so I have transactions per second at zero, log requests per second, also zero, log weights per second, zero, because of course there's no activity on the servers at the moment. I have total server memory at 223 megabytes, and the number of batch requests per second currently zero. What happens if I run a query? So I have some queries here in my management studio. I'm going to hit F5 and run a small series of queries, and you can see that my batch request per second counter went up to the maximum value of 2. Total server memory remained unchanged. Log requests, I had a maximum of 556 log requests per second, and there were no transactions since my queries were just select, so I did not modify anything. There was no transaction that would open. So these are examples of just some of the performance counters that you can use to monitor SQL Server. Just to show you how many SQL Server performance counters there are in total, I will query a DMV that allows you to retrieve those counters server side from your Transact SQL. That DMV is called SysDM OS performance counters. And this DMV allows me to see all the same performance counters that that are available inside the performance monitor. So rather than use the performance monitor and the graphical tool here, I could, for instance, query those counters frequently from a script or from a stored procedure and see everything that happens. As you can see, the total number of performance counters that are available on this instance of SQL Server is always is all over 1,200. So there is a big number of various counters that you can use and capture and see exactly what is the activity of your server over time. So in this demo, you've seen how to use a performance monitor to perform some basic performance and activity monitoring tasks on your SQL Server instance. Let me now discuss how we could manage storage for our databases. Typical tasks for managing database files can include expanding the data and transaction log files, shrinking the data and transaction log files, and adding or removing additional data or transaction log files. Generally, when it comes to transaction log space, SQL Server performs most of the management automatically. By default, your transaction log file is set to auto-grow and basically grow automatically as needed. If you don't take proper care of your transaction log and don't backup it frequently, it is possible that your transaction log will be growing very large over time. And you can end up with a very large transaction log file containing all the transaction log records for a long period of time. So please keep in mind that it is very important to have an appropriate backup strategy and take a transaction log backups frequently. Because the SQL Server by default has the auto-grow functionality enabled, your transaction logs and your data files will grow as needed. That is, of course, good, but it's even better if you can pre-size your database and create the database files and transaction log files to match whatever will be the required amount of space as your database grows. Because SQL Server transaction log files are variable size and taking a backup releases all virtual log files and enables for their reuse, you don't have to perform many of the transaction log management tasks that can be found in Oracle. In SQL Server, you can, of course, add additional files and additional file groups, just like you can add additional table spaces in Oracle. You can manage them by adding, emptying, removing, and renaming those table spaces or file groups. You can also change the status of your file group to be read-only. Because SQL Server uses fixed-size extents, there are no administration tasks when it comes to managing the size of the extents and how space is allocated inside the database files. Generally, in SQL Server, you just need to provide a data file that is large enough to accommodate your data, and all the other management tasks are performed for you automatically. When it comes to managing activity of the user sessions and transactions, there is a number of various DMVs that play the same role as Oracle system tables. In SQL Server, you can use certain dynamic management views and stored procs such as SPWho and SPWho2 to see the session activity and transaction activity. You can also use a number of tools. The most basic tools that ship with SQL Server and are installed with SQL Server include the Activity Monitor in SQL Server Management Studio, as well as SQL Server Profiler. So you can use one of those tools to perform basic activity monitoring and see all the queries and all the activity that happens on your SQL Server instance. For instance, SQL Server Profiler allows you to capture all the batches and all the queries that are executed against your database. It has many filtering options that allow you to narrow down the scope of your monitoring so that you only capture the data that is of interest to you. When it comes to managing concurrency structures, the most important ones are locks and latches. And the difference between locks and latches is that locks are transactional and they are used to manage consistency of your data within the scope of your transaction, where latches are more physical and they are only used to protect the integrity of the physical structure, such as a data page, while we are performing our data update. So you could say that locks are used to prevent logical consistency, where latches are used to protect physical consistency of your data. There are also other synchronization structures that both Oracle and SQL Server use. So apart from latches, you also have mutexes that control access to certain internal structures that are used in each database platform. Now, because we have locking and latching, there is of course a possibility that we will run into all kinds of concurrency problems, and our sessions will be locking each other out, and there will be some blocking. Now, there are two possibilities. There are a number, actually, of tools, with the two most important tools for managing blocking. One is, of course, the Activity Monitor and the set of reports that it presents. And those reports are based on data retrieved from dynamic management views. So you can see using DMVs what is the current locking activity on the server. And another tool is called Blocked Process Report. If you configure a blocked process threshold on your instance of SQL Server, SQL Server will generate a special blocked process report every time a certain process waits to acquire a lock for more than a given configured amount of time. Blocked process report is a piece of XML that explains and describes exactly which process was blocked by what other process and what was the resource that they blocked on. Another important aspect of locking is the possibility of encountering a deadlock. A deadlock situation is where two or more processes mutually block each other so that no process can continue, no single process can continue, everyone is blocked. Of course, the deadlock situation will not resolve itself. There is some intervention needed. SQL Server has a deadlock monitor component within SQL OS, and that deadlock monitor component is responsible for detecting and resolving deadlocks. Whenever deadlock occurs, the deadlock monitor will discover that, and it will kill one of and roll back one of the transactions. Generally, the transaction that is chosen as a deadlock victim and rolled back is that transaction which has performed less work and has less transaction lock activity, and it is also therefore easier and cheaper to roll back. Because of this and the fact that every now and then your transactions may deadlock, it's just a normal occurrence in a busy multi-user transactional database that Deadlocks do happen every now and then, depending on what is the activity. They might happen less frequently or more frequently. And if they do, your transaction and your application should be prepared and able to handle error 1205, which is the deadlock information, deadlock error message. If you want to troubleshoot and resolve deadlocks, one of the best tools for doing that is an event called deadlock graph. So whenever deadlock monitor encounters a deadlock situation, it kills one of the offending transactions, and it generates a deadlock graph that describes what has happened, how the two processes deadlocked each other. That is a very useful troubleshooting tool. If you want to understand why the deadlock happened and what were the processes and the queries involved, deadlock graph is one of the best tools out there. I would like to show you how the deadlock graph works. So in this demonstration, I will show you how to capture deadlock information using the deadlock graph event in SQL Profiler. So I'm going to start a SQL Server Profiler to start a new trace. And in my trace, I'm really only interested in one event. So from all the various events that I can capture, I'm going to only use locks deadlock graph. That's the event that I'm interested in. I just want to capture the XML that describes any deadlock situation that is happening on my server. You know, maybe I've heard that there are deadlocks on my server and want to troubleshoot them, want to understand what's going on. So I have the trace running, and now everything I have to do is wait for a deadlock to occur. Of course, that deadlock will not occur on its own, so we need to create one for this demo. So I have two sessions with transactions that perform opposing updates. So I have update to the same rows from two different sessions, and as you can see, one session updates a row with business entity ID 1 first, and the other one updates business entity ID 10 first, and then it moves on to 1. So the reason for this deadlock, obviously, is the fact that the sessions are using the resources in opposite order. So I'm going to start the first session, the first transaction, and then I'm going to start the second one. And within several seconds, those two sessions will deadlock. So this session seems to have completed successfully. But for this session to be completed successfully, the other one had to be chosen as a deadlock victim. So as you can see, my transaction received error 1205, that it was deadlocked on lock resources with another process and has been chosen as a deadlock victim. Rerun the transaction. So this is an example of deadlock monitor automatically detecting the deadlock and intervening by killing one of the transactions so that other transaction can continue. Of course, if I was a developer and I just got this 1205 message, I know there was a deadlock and my transaction was killed, but I don't really know what the deadlock involved and why it happened. So there is no way for me to maybe make changes to my code to avoid such deadlock situation in the future. Luckily, my DBA was running a SQL Server Profiler session with deadlock graph information. So this is an example of a deadlock graph, and it shows the processes and the resources that were involved in a deadlock situation. So we can see that there was server process ID 53 that ran this batch, and there was server process ID 54 that ran another batch, and they deadlocked on two key lock resources. So basically they were updating the same table and two rows within that table in opposite order. So we had process ID 54 owning a lock to this particular row and requesting a lock on the other row, while the process 53 already had a lock on that first row and requested an exclusive lock to the other one. So it's an example of a deadlock, of a classical simple deadlock situation. This deadlock graph is actually a piece of XML. We can even see it here in the text data that this is a piece of XML that describes the deadlock. If you want to export, you can extract the event data and export it to a file. The file extension is XDL, which is deadlock information, you know, deadlock XML file. And if I double click on it, it will open in Management Studio. So it becomes easy to monitor, capture, export, troubleshoot, you know, send around the information about why the deadlock occurred. It is very easy to understand what happened there. If you want to see what exactly is in the deadlock information, we could change the extension here to XML and then open that deadlock information in Management Studio, and you can see exactly what is included in this XML document describing the deadlock that just occurred. And as you can see, we have very detailed information there. So each process is exactly described. Who ran the process? What was the application used? What was the host name? You know, when was the last query? When was the last query started? When was the last query completed? What was the isolation level, etc., etc.? You get a lot of very detailed information about the two processes involved with a deadlock. This is a very, very useful tool, I would say indispensable tool when it comes to deadlock monitoring. So in this demo, you've seen how we can capture and diagnose deadlock situations by using a deadlock graph in SQL Server Profiler. In this session, we have discussed and learned about server and session monitoring and configuration and management options that are needed for managing SQL Server, both on the instance level as well as on the database level. We talked about monitoring session activity, the tools that are available for capturing session and user activity, and monitoring and diagnosing locking and deadlock information. We've covered some of the tools that are available in SQL Server, such as SQL Server Profiler, Performance Monitor, and Activity Monitor in SQL Server. Thank you very much for watching, and I encourage you to watch the next session where we'll be discussing data object management. Thank you.